Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on modulating an old-school DNB break roll with crunchy sampler texture. In this session, we're not just trying to make a break sound dirty, we're going for something more alive than that. The idea is to build a classic jungle-flavored roll, then make it feel like it's being re-triggered through a battered sampler that's just on the edge of falling apart. That gives you movement, attitude, and that raw, unstable energy that works so well in old-school drum and bass, tech step, and darker modern rollers. The big thing to keep in mind from the start is this: the crunchy layer is not the main event, it's motion. It should answer the roll, react to the rhythm, and surge at specific moments, especially toward the last 2 to 4 retriggers. If it just sits there as a constant effect, it will flatten the groove. So we want contrast, not blanket destruction. Let's start with the break itself. Pick a break that has clear transient detail. Amen-style breaks are the obvious classic choice, but any break with hats, ghost notes, and a strong snare identity will work. Drag it into an audio track and warp it carefully. If it's a classic break, beats mode is usually the best starting point. Then set preserve somewhere around 1/16 or 1/8, depending on how clean or loose you want the transients to behave. Once it feels right, slice it to a new MIDI track using slice to new MIDI track and slice by transient. That gives you a drum rack built from the individual break hits, which is exactly what we want for this kind of roll programming. Now build the roll as a performance first, before we even touch the dirt. Think in 1-bar or 2-bar phrases. Put your main snare or clap accents in first, then fill around them with ghosted hits, small kick pickups, and hat fragments. As you get toward the end of the bar, add faster note repeats, maybe 1/8 or 1/16 retriggers, and if it feels right, a quick triplet burst. The point is to make the roll feel like it's accelerating emotionally, even if the tempo never changes. This is where human feel matters a lot. Vary the velocity on every repeat. Don't let identical hits stack up like a copy and paste grid. Offset a few notes a little ahead or behind the beat, if the groove calls for it. Slight asymmetry is part of the old school feel. If everything is perfectly quantized, the sampler texture will actually reveal that mechanical grid instead of enhancing the swing. So once the core roll feels musical, we add the crunchy sampler layer. There are two solid approaches here. The first is to build a separate texture layer using sampler with a short, characterful sample. That could be vinyl hiss, a smashed snare fragment, a rimshot, a chopped break tail, a tiny vocal stab, a metal hit, or even a noisy percussion one-shot. Load it into sampler in classic mode, set it to one-shot or trigger, and shape the amplitude envelope very tightly. Fast attack, very short decay, zero sustain, and a short release. You want it snappy and percussive. Then process that layer with some combination of redux, saturator, and auto filter. Redux gives you the aliasing and bit-crushed edge. Saturator gives you density and a little harmonic push. Auto filter helps the texture breathe and move. If you want the gritty layer to feel more unstable, modulate the cutoff so it opens and closes as the roll develops. A good starting point for redux is subtle to moderate downsampling, with bit reduction around 8 to 12 bits if you want obvious grit, or more like 12 to 16 bits if you want texture without total destruction. On saturator, a few dB of drive is often enough, and soft clip is usually a smart move. With auto filter, try band pass or low pass modes, add a bit of resonance, and keep the cutoff in motion rather than locked in one spot. The second approach is even more authentic for old school flavor: resample the break roll itself, then degrade the printed audio. That means you print the roll to audio, duplicate it, and build a texture chain from the duplicate. You can load the resampled material into sampler, or even just work directly on the audio. Then add redux, maybe erosion or frequency shifter, drum bus, and EQ8. This is where you get that battered sampler character, because you're not just processing a loop, you're reinterpreting a printed performance. Now let's make the movement actually follow the roll. A really effective method is to treat the texture as something that opens up with the phrase. Start with auto filter fairly closed, maybe in low pass or band pass mode, then automate the cutoff so it slowly opens as the fill intensifies. Keep the resonance moderate. The effect should be that the break starts narrow and dark, then becomes brighter and more urgent as the final retriggers arrive. That's classic tension building behavior. You can also automate volume or utility gain so the dirty layer blooms into the groove, rather than dominating from the start. For example, the texture might begin around -12 dB, then rise toward zero or slightly above as the climax of the fill arrives, then drop sharply just before the downbeat. This creates a ghostly pressure effect, like the sampler is waking up inside the bar. If you want to get more advanced, Map a few things together into a macro or automation lane. A useful macro could control redux downsample, saturator drive, filter cutoff, and maybe the send level into grain delay or echo. One knob that increases the sampler byte is fast to perform and easy to make musical. This is a great way to get that evolving, hands-on feel without drawing 12 different automation curves. Speaking of grain delay and echo, these are excellent for adding rhythmic destruction, but keep them subtle. We're not trying to wash the breakout. We're trying to smear the high-end fragments just enough to feel like a busted sampler or tape head wobble. With grain delay, use very short delay times, low to medium feedback, and a modest dry/wet amount. Small amounts of pitch movement can be cool too, but be careful. With echo, keep the feedback low, the modulation subtle, and the drive or noise only a little bit present. Again, the rule is texture, not haze. At this point, the crunchy layer should feel like it's glued to the roll, but it still needs control. Drum bus is really useful here. Put it on the texture bus and use it to add density and transient character. Drive can go fairly hard if needed, but don't overdo the boom unless you specifically want extra low-end weight, which usually isn't the goal on a texture layer. Crunch can add attitude very quickly, and the damp control is great if the high end gets too fizzy. Then clean up the layer with EQ8. High pass it somewhere, around 120 to 200 HC so it doesn't fight the kick and bass. If it gets harsh in the 3 to 6K HC area, pull some of that back. And if the ultra-high fizz from redux is too obvious, shave that down too. A good rule here is, the main break carries the punch and groove, and the crunchy layer carries the grit and movement. This is also where you should check the whole thing in context with the bass line. Soloed, the break might sound huge and full of detail, but once the res or sub enters, that same texture can disappear or become too bright. So always check the roll with the low end playing. You want the grit audible, but not so much that it competes with cymbals, hats, or the bass movement. Another important move is to keep the dirty layer more mono or narrower than the main break if needed. Utility is perfect for this. You can collapse the width or reduce it partially so the texture hits harder and stays focused. Now let's talk about arrangement, because this technique really comes alive when you use it strategically. One very effective move is to start the fill clean, then introduce the crunch only in the last two beats or even just the last half bar. Open the filter over the final retriggers, then cut everything right before the drop. That clean to dirty to silence shape is incredibly effective in DNB, especially when the drop lands hard. You can also do a two-bar rising roll. Keep the first bar relatively sparse, with ghost notes and a little texture. Then in the second bar, increase the retriggers, open the filter more, and push the saturation harder. End with a chopped stop, or a final impact hit. That gives you a proper escalation curve. Another strong idea is call and response. Let one pass be cleaner and more transient focused, then the next pass be more degraded and sampler heavy. Alternating clean and dirty bars every 4 or 8 bars keeps the listener engaged and stops the loop from becoming predictable. One of the best workflows here is to print the result. Resample the break roll and the texture boss to a new audio track. Once it's recorded, consolidate the best moments and start editing the printed audio. You can reverse specific fragments, gate the tail, pitch down the last hit, or insert a tiny stop time before the drop. This is where the material starts sounding composed rather than just looped. Printing also lets you make new fills from the resample. If a particular bar has the perfect transient shape, keep it. You can always process it again more gently later, but you can't recover a missed moment after the fact. So print often and trust the strongest passes. A few quick pitfalls to watch out for. Don't overprocess the break. If the dirty layer is too loud or too wide, the swing and identity of the break disappear. The texture should enhance, not replace. Don't leave too much low end in the texture layer. High pass it and keep the bottom clean. Don't make every retrigger the same velocity. That kills the feel instantly. And don't drown the roll in reverb or delay. Old school DNB is gritty, but it still needs impact. You want the transient front edge to stay clear. If you want to push this further, there are some nice advanced variations. Try separating the behavior of different drum lanes. Let the snare fragments get more saturation, keep the kick fragments shorter and drier, and let the hats move more with filter modulation or grain effects. That makes the roll feel more three-dimensional. You can also automate degradation across phrases. Maybe phrase 1 is subtle and tight, phrase 2 gets more mid-range crunch, phrase 3 becomes brighter and more unstable, and phrase 4 cuts off hard. That kind of progression keeps the ear interested. Another good trick is to create a broken machine moment. For one bar only, automate the filter to close abruptly, Add a little pitch drift on selected hits, reduce bit depth more aggressively, or spike the feedback briefly on grain delay or echo, then recover right after. That kind of glitchy event can make the whole transition feel more live. For a practical exercise, try building a two-bar break roll where the first bar is mostly clean and the second bar introduces the sampler crunch. Then resample that result and cut one new transition fill from the printed audio. If the fill feels aggressive but controlled, and the sampler layer seems to break apart at the end instead of just sitting on top, you're in the right zone.